Hugh Hefner, a true American icon, created an empire that was unrivaled.
Although some of us bunnies may have gone rogue, it's because of the love and respect that we received from the man behind it all.
Because after all, we did learn from the best.
Relive the stories from the most prominent celebrity home in history.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
From those of us that lived it,
the employees that worked it,
and the guests who loved it.
And
the mayhem continues.
Aloha! I think that's something. Hey, Shaka, Shaka, Ashley, Ashley Hobbs, what up, girl?
Ashley in the house.
Hi.
Hi, Ashley.
Well, so cool to have you on the show. Been wanting to get you on forever. What you been up
to,
man?
Thank you for having me.
How it is over on the island?
It's beautiful. Today is actually a beautiful day. We got a little bit of a rain. It's been kind of cold, not comparable to any of y'all's cold, but it's been cold. So I'm waiting for like the actual spring sun to come out, but it's been great. I've been hanging out at home, working, hanging out with my 9 puppies.
Nine puppies?
Yep.
9 puppies. Yes.
Wow. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
My pitties had babies on accident and then I had to take care of them and now they're gone. They all went to their forever home. So I'm free.
Nice.
Now you actually grew up on the island, right? And,
yes.
And then you moved to LA. Yes. Yeah. Tell us about that. How about, you know, coming out to Playboy and coming to Playmate?
I mean, it probably all started with my mom's pendant. My mom had a Playboy bunny pendant that I used to wear in high school and college. And just somewhere down the line, I had a whole bunch of friends tell me, you should go and pose, you should go and, you know, audition. And I mean, I've been modeling since I was like 13, 14 years old. So I've been doing the thing for a while. And then it just so happened that there was an audition up at the mansion the same time that I was visiting for a vacation with my family. And I was like, well, if the signs aren't blinking all day.
So there was a full on casting call going on at the mansion. Cause I remember we had a few of those.
Yes. Yeah. So I went to a casting call up at the house and I told my mom. My mom got, you know, we went lingerie shopping. I got lashes. I got all dolled up and my mom dropped me off and I was there with 500 other girls. And just so happens, I was like, I remember sitting in one of those tents, getting all dressed, like changing into my lingerie outfit. And I hear the girls in the next tent saying, oh, this is my third. This is my fourth audition. And I literally put that mental image in my head. I said, if I don't get this, we're not doing this again. That's just a sign. Like, if I don't get this, that's it. We're just going to.
Yeah. Because
it's, you know, stressful putting yourself in that position and then just like hoping it comes true. And then it's like putting yourself through it.
How
again
intimidating.
Probably like, no.
Going to the mansion. Yeah. Well, like that's intimidating. Like never been there before.
For the listener, if you can picture this, right. You're getting to one, you're being shuttled up in buses. All these girls, everyone lining up at the front, everyone's having to sign in. You have all this paperwork. I remember the tennis court being lined up with a bunch of 10 by 10 pop-ups, different photographers. When each one, you'd have Arnie Freytag in one. I think Steve Wade was in another. Yeah. All the photographers are all laid all out. I can recall Playboy Radio was there because the morning show was there. Andra and, you know, and they were out there doing the scene, checking it all out. But I would just see the what did it feel like? Like all of a sudden you're there and you don't know anybody. And there's all these girls. We're talking the most beautifulest women around the world.
Yeah.
All congregated in one spot.
Yeah. I remember going into the tent and they were just like telling me, go to this tent, change here, go to this tent, sit in front of this tent. And I'm sitting there and my hands are sweating. Like, I'm getting all gross and like trying to stay cute. And I remember walking for the first time in 6-inch heels on that cobblestone.
Oh, the flagstone. Hard. Yeah.
I was like, don't fall. Don't make a fool of yourself.
Oh, man.
And then I remember Joel Flora.
Joel, yes.
He had a clipboard. And he was like, hey, what's up? I was like, hi. And I was like, he alone was like, just straight to business. So I was super intimidated. He's asking me all these questions. He's like, tattoos. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, where? And I was like, ooh. in my bikini area. He's like, groin. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. That groin area. Sure. And so I get in the tent and I get Arnie's tent. I get Arnie Freytag's tent.
Nice.
And good. He's like, oh, hi. So he starts taking like my photo in my lingerie, my portrait, my headshot and all that. And he was like, and then he's like, oh, great. You're beautiful. And then these other men just start filing in the tent. And I'm like, holy shit. And then all of a sudden he's like, take your top off. And I was like, don't want to. And then I was like, wait a minute. What am I doing here? Duh.
Right.
So
right.
Of course. I was like, okay, fine. And then he's like, oh, wow. What do your tattoos mean? Oh, what is this? Oh, wow. All the other guys are like, wow, you're really pretty. I was like, thank you. And then he asked me, he's all like, well, we want to get a group photo with you, with Hef. And I was like, he's here? I was so confused. He's like, yeah, he's coming down for a group photo. I want to get you in there. He's like, when do you leave? And I was like, I leave tomorrow. And he's like, oh, I want to get you in the studio tomorrow. And I was like, wow, it's not going to happen. Sorry. So yeah, he was like, okay, so you're going to take this photo with Hef and just, you know, try and get as good in the photo as possible. So there's like this group of girls that are just standing in this one place. And there's this guy who I thought was like Hef's brother at the time. I don't even know who he was. And come to find out, I've like no idea how he got connected. Anyway, he's sitting there in his place as like a sit-in. And then as soon as Hef comes down with Crystal and a couple other girls, and I remember Charlie. I'm a dog person, obviously. I remember the dog first.
Right.
And I was like, okay. And then he sits down and these girls just swarm. Like they just like squish in so quick. And I'm in the back, like, you could just see this part of my face. And I'm like, right. Hi. And then Scott Cope pulled me aside and he had me do like a interview on camera. And I was like, well, this is interesting. I didn't think I'd be doing this. Cause I totally expected watching like parts of like the Girls Next Door show, like, you just go into the house and you take a couple Polaroids and it's like, okay, bye. We'll see, you know, we'll call you. It was like a full on event. It was so interesting. It was very intimidating, but I've been to a bunch of cattle calls, casting calls for being, you know, modeling and all that. So that's what I felt. But for the first time, I actually felt like I was there for a reason. All the other cattle calls I'd ever been to, they're like, oh, can you dye your hair brown? Oh, can you, you know, can you lose a couple pounds? Oh, hey, can you be 13 when I'm like 17, 19 years old? And I'm like, okay, so why am I here? So being at the mansion, I felt like that was my place. Like I knew I was actually going to fit in. And then when I found out, like I got the call, hey, can you come down for the weekend? They flew me back for the weekend. They're like doing all of my other tests. There is a whole photo shoot of me in satin blue sheets. That's like my hands down favorite photo shoot I ever did. That was like, I love those photos.
Never seen the light of day, did they?
Like I went from start to finish with Arnie Freytag, which I,
that's yeah, awesome.
He's great. I had Arnie as well. He was good. He was very methodical though. And it took a long time to get a picture.
A lot of lighting.
Yes. So long.
So you come to the mansion, you're at the casting call, then you get the call. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. Hold off. We're with Ashley Hobbs. You are listening to Rogue Bunnies Mayhem.
The Rogue Bunnies have had some pretty epic and real-life events that I'm sure you've all heard about. Wondering how you can be included in our next one? Become a VIP NFT holder. The main benefit of being a VIP is access to our events, and lucky for you, there are multiple ways to become one. Purchase a stunning Rogue Bunnies Founder Drop Ordinal, minting now at ordinals.roguebunnies.com. Or own a legendary or epic trading card. Buy one right off of our marketplace or try your luck with a Series 1 trading card pack. Once you own one of these, get verified in our Discord and claim your status. The VIP perks don't end at in-real-life events. You'll also have priority access to future drops, gated chat channels with the Rogue Bunnies, VIP-only online events, and more. Want more details? Visit roguebunnies.com. Then follow the bunny mask and get ready to go rogue.
Welcome to the metaverse.
So we were just talking about this wild event at the mansion and the big casting call. And you eventually got that call. What was that like?
Yeah. So I got the call, still working my part-time job back here in Hawaii. And they're like, can you come for the weekend? Can you come for the week? So they ended up calling and they like setting everything up for me. I remember getting in. I've never had somebody with a sign at the airport for me.
Isn't that weird? That's weird, right?
I'm a celebrity. Who is this person? I don't even know if I get it, but I don't care. But this is a fun experience altogether. So I get in the car. I'm going down Sunset. And I'm going down Wilshire Boulevard. I'm looking at all the buildings. I'm like, where am I? And then I pull up and I was like, okay, I've been here before. And then they show me to the guest house. They welcome me with open arms.
I remember you. I was living there when you came up there for
that. Really?
So like, who's
Jen was
girl?
Like one of the first that I ever met. So it's been like, and it was like this ever since.
Like, we were ride since. Or die for like the whole time I was living there. It was, we got into some trouble.
We want to hear.
Yes, we did.
Please. Come on, yeah. Spill that freaking coffee.
So I got there. I started my shoot. You know, I did the whole pictorial. And then the actual gatefold, the actual centerfold image, it took, you know, the whole day, obviously. And I'm sitting there and I'm taking the photo and I'm standing there and Arnie takes forever. And Arnie loves to have his image perfect. And I'm standing there. My legs are crossed. My legs are locked. And it was right before lunch. And all of a sudden, I just start seeing black spots.
Same here.
Like, I just start seeing all these. And I'm like, can I sit down for a second? And I literally passed out on set.
No way.
So, wow. Why? Because I'm eating? Or?
I pretty much did, too.
I think
it was crazy.
Yeah. I think it was just from standing and locking my knees. And obviously, I was only there on caffeine when I first got there because I heard it, you know, it makes you look skinnier because it's a diuretic or whatever. So I literally was desperate. Just trying to look my best, guys, here. So yes, yeah, so I did that. And they had the girl for makeup in my face with the hair dryer on cold, trying to like bring me back to life. They gave me a piece of chocolate. And then Arnie's like, all right, let's take lunch. I think we got it.
Wow.
I was like, okay, cool. So during that lunch, they take the big photo up to Hef and I'm sitting there and they're like, okay, well, we're just waiting to see, you know, what Hef says and all that and see if there's any changes or anything, all of that. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking with Joel. I'm talking with Arnie. I'm talking with everybody on the crew. We're just shooting the shit. I'm sitting in Arnie's director chair. I felt so proud of myself.
This is you at the studio? And you guys were at the studio?
Yeah, we were at the studio. Yeah. So we were at the studio and Stephanie Meyer, I think is her last
yeah.
name. Yeah, she comes up behind me and she just grabs my shoulders and she goes, hi, Miss December. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And like literally my stomach dropped. I literally just got chicken skin just thinking about it now. So, and I was like, what?
And wasn't December his favorite issue of the year? Like, you had to be special to get December. Wasn't that? I've heard that before. Like, December's like.
I heard it was January, but that's just.
Says about Miss January.
we'll take any time. I don't care. I felt special anyway, being one of 12.
Right.
One of 12, like, exactly.
Yes. So the first thing, of course, I called my mom and I'm sitting in the makeup room and I'm crying and the makeup artist is like, stop, you're going to ruin my job. I'm like,
right.
And she's all, and my mom's like, just send over the contract. Congratulations. Like, pick a good name. And I was like, name? What? She's like, yeah, don't use your real name. I was like, fuck that. I'm going to use my real name.
Yeah.
I want everybody to know that it's me. So I was like, all right, we're just going to sign this away. And I was like, holy shit. I just made a huge career move in 3 days all by myself.
That's awesome. Then did you have to, because I almost passed out shooting my centerfold also, because I was in like a wall squat position for a long time.
Yeah.
And the next day they made me go back and do the same pose, but in lingerie for like the calendar.
Yes.
It was like, yes. I went back the next day. I'm like, yes, it was approved. Like, this is good. And they're like, okay, we're going to do exactly what we did yesterday, but in lingerie. And I was like, my muscle is going to, I'm good. You're going to have to like put me in a cast because I was like leaning on one knee the whole time. It was terrible. So I'm glad that you had to go through it too. But you probably did it that day. Did you do it that day?
I think I did the lingerie first.
Okay.
And then they literally, so what they did is they had me in the whole little teddy. I think it's what it's called, a little dressy thing. And they cut right between my boobs and it just opened up and it just hung on me. But I was obviously naked underneath. And I was like, okay. But I stood there for the whole time. Like I didn't
cut them. They cut the outfit?
Yeah. They literally right up my tits. I was like, okay. We're never using this again. Good to know.
Wow.
Time just whirlwinded. Boom. Next thing you know, you're going to a casting call. Next thing you know, you're in Studio West. Next thing you know, you have just been made Miss December. And next thing you know, you're staying up at the Playboy Mansion, actually going into the house. And there you are, meeting all the staff. You know, you're getting, yes. you know, any food you want. You're getting all this luxury life that, you know, people dream about. I want to know, what was it like for you when your issue came out? Because, you know, we'd get boxes of the issues, of the new issues in the mm-hmm. butler's pantry, right? And every Playmate would always come running in. Is it in yet? Is it in yet? And I just remember, like, boom, you bring it out. Can you recall that?
Yeah. What was your month and year?
December 2010.
10. Okay. Yeah.
I remember it didn't come out. It came out while I was still here. So I actually, like, my whole issue itself, I didn't move to LA until mid-January of 2011. So my whole month that I was out, I was still here.
In Hawaii.
So yeah, in Hawaii. So I remember getting the issue and seeing the issue actually on stands, and it was like, that's me.
Wow. Like, that's crazy. Me. Yeah.
And then I remember getting a phone call from my community college where I went to college, and I took a journalism class for their newspaper, and their people actually called me to write an article about me. And I was like answering all of their questions. It was nuts. Like, everybody around, I like got a call from the radio station out here. It was pretty interesting having all of that attention so quickly.
Did Playboy do a party for you? Because when I was a Playmate, they did a party for every Playmate when it came out. I don't think I actually got one because I was local.
I think at that point was when Hef didn't really like leave the mansion that much. So it was a very
rare wherever it was. Like, if you were from Ohio, you'd have a party in Ohio. If you were from
like a hometown party.
Like, they would always throw that for the girls.
For mine, it was like March Madness or something like that. And I worked like a South by Southwest or something. So if they could tie your issue into like a party something, that was happening somewhere.
Interesting.
But,
that would have been awesome. Like a freaking luau, like a celebration luau.
Yeah, right.
That'd be sick. You know what?
I'm still open. They can totally do that.
Well, let's hold that right now because celebration luau sounds freaking awesome. But let's take a quick break. Ashley, you're killing it. We love you, girl. We'll be right back. You're listening to Rogue Bunny's Mayhem.
Hi, it's Victoria Fuller, founder and lead artist of Rogue Bunnies and, more importantly, Miss January 1996. You should all know the story by now. Me and my 100 bunny sisters have gone rogue. What you need to do is visit roguebunnies.com. By purchasing your Rogue Bunnies NFTs, you can be part of our Discord community, which gets you early access to Rogue Bunnies series drops, special promotions, exciting IRL events, our famous poker nights, and so much more. All you have to do is visit roguebunnies.com. That's roguebunnies.com. Let's explore the future together.
Welcome to the metaverse.
You know, we were talking during the break, some interesting points about the driving up the pictures to the boss.
Yeah, you made the you said that they were you had to wait to because they had to drive pictures up to Hef from the studio up to the mansion so Hef could see them. But I was curious, wasn't it that time they were doing stuff in digital, so they could have actually emailed it to him, but they still were doing the big camera with the blanket over it and the 8x10 slides for your centerfold? Yep. Yeah.
Yes. I remember Arnie getting under that little
curtain
thing, but I do remember him being a little bit, Jen said it perfectly, very archaic. He's very old school.
Yeah, like he had his method, and you were there for the ride. So
every eyelash hair had its own light.
Every eyelash hair had its own light.
Yeah,
I like
Arnie
that.
Freitag was the lighting
guru. But that's the honest to God truth because he told me we don't airbrush unless you've got sliced and you've got a scar with stitches that's not supposed to be there. We'll airbrush that out, but we light you to look great. But you are. What you see is what you are.
The centerfolds are not touched up.
I loved that. Cool. I'll sit there all day if you want to light me correctly. You know what I mean? Like, just put them in all the right. There was a butt light. There was like the boob light.
I remember that. It got a little hot in there at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember my tattoos were airbrushed out of the images though.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So when did the tattoos become okay?
Well, Colleen Shannon, the 50th anniversary, had several tattoos. And
so she was the first.
Well, she was the first one. She had them from head to toe. She kind of had them randomly all over. And they were showing all over. And she had piercings. And they were in her centerfold. And I was super surprised because there was a time when Hef didn't even like earrings. So it kind of like, you know, he eventually it evolved to kind of right. be more. Cheris B yeah. also had a couple tattoos, but I don't know if they covered hers.
I remember in my, you can actually still see it. So in my test shoot, they actually showed my full, like full nudity frontal. And you can actually see, I had my, my hood pierced.
Did
my,
you
my
what?
Friend, my hoo-ha was pierced. Yes. My
hoo-ha. Oh.
You're in your groin area.
A vaginal piercing.
way in the middle. Yeah. Way in the middle. No. And then I remember.
Wait. Time out. We're not just going to gloss by that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's back this up. Okay. So this went through your brain. So you said, you know, I think I need a piercing. This is what I yeah. need to do. Yeah, you know, I think, you know. That's
where's kinda, the most delicate where, spot yeah. on my body?
And eyebrow, nose, ear, belly button. No, let's just.
What was that experience like?
Soap and gold.
I mean, you know, it's one thing that like, you know, you go down and maybe it's a little, okay, I got to show a little something to the tattoo artist.
Yeah, how's that work?
But hi there. Did you have a male or female tattoo, the hood?
I had a male.
And how, what was that experience like?
I had a male piercer pierce it, and it was just a spur of the moment. Let's see if it actually does what everybody says it does. And
what is it supposed
honestly,
to do?
Honestly, the worst part about it was the clamp that actually held.
Oh! Yeah, they clamp you. And
oh, my God.
That was the worst.
See, I had my nipple pierced back in the day when all that piercing started. I remember the clamp. So that's a clamp on a nipple.
I had
nipple.
My tongue pierced.
Your tongue pierced. But the clamp, seriously, that's the pain. But was it all worth it? Was the pain worth it?
While I had it, it wasn't used properly. So, yes, no, I guess.
Okay. Well,
yeah. I've been thinking about doing it again because I feel like it would be more worth it now. But yeah, I didn't get it used properly when I had it. But they didn't want it in my photos and they didn't want to have to keep airbrushing stuff. So, I actually ended up taking it out. And I remember taking it out with a pair of pliers because it was so, really so tight.
So you take it out with a pair of pliers. It's not like something like you pull out an earring and then you just put it right back
in. I'm having palpitations just thinking about this. Like, this is not okay.
Oh, my gosh.
It was fun while it lasted.
Okay, we need a segue to something funny.
Yeah, like, oh, my gosh.
We're all
were you shooting whiskey when you did this? Like, what? Like, how'd you get?
No, I was fully sober.
Wow.
I was just watching the whole time. I was young. I was like 19, 20. So it was like, shoot the shit. Go for it. I don't care.
You were so young. It was so cute. You were just, she was just like this green little happy go lucky. Like, I was like, girl, this town is going to rip you apart. I'm not even kidding. Like, just keep your guard up because, you know, don't trust anybody. People are going to tell you, they're going to do all this wonderful stuff for you and it's all bullshit and I'm just like, let's go together. And I was like, get away from her.
If I didn't have the buddy system with you, I probably would have been thrown through the ringer
easily. Right. Oh my God,
I'm just having a curiosity, is as Jen's saying, people out here will eat you up and you are so like just a fun, true, honest individual. You come from island life, which is totally different from, I mean, I know just the difference of beach life out here. Beach people are totally different from inland, you know? And so what would you say the biggest difference that you had, adjustment that you had to take coming from Hawaii and moving here to LA?
I would probably say it was the people.
Yeah, and what about?
For me, it was in that industry, in that world, everybody was out for themselves. Here, everybody's a family. Everybody takes care of each other. Everybody shows kindness and respect. And I lost that living in LA. So I really would say it was the people, except when I was at the mansion. When I was at the mansion, everybody asked, how's your day? How are you? You know, do you need anything? I remember Allison and Joel, when I first moved out, she was actually trying to help me find a place. I didn't get that anywhere else. So outside of the mansion, it was rough. Inside the walls, inside with the family, it was a completely different feeling. I was super at home. I was able to be myself. But yeah, it was, I mean, even going to auditions, it was different than going to auditions here in Hawaii. So it's definitely, for me, it was the people. Don't get me wrong. I came across some good people that were outside, but I can't count more than five on my hand with those types of people. other than you guys. Aww. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely would say it was probably that. It was the experiences that I had outside of the house and living in the LA life.
Well, we're going to want to talk about more of those experiences up at the mansion, but we're going to have to wrap up here. We're going to do a part two. We are Rogue Bunnies Mayhem. And
the mayhem continues.
Hey, Mayhem Familia. Don't forget to click, like, and subscribe. And tell all your friends.
Also, visit us at rbmayhemshow.com. That's rbmayhemshow.com.
And I want to give a special thanks to Dapper Labs, Flow, Gig Labs, and also Flowscore. And
the mayhem continues!